Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for DFS slate upcoming, FanDuel DraftKings NFL Week 15 player breakdown. We are coming at you live for the weekend, guys. We got Thursday night football tonight, obviously, Indy versus Denver. Don't care. Saturday football, Chicago, Detroit, don't care. Do care. Well, actually, Detroit wins, they'll stay kind of somewhat relevant. But the Kansas City Chargers game, that's going to be a fun one. Rooting for the Chargers myself. Sorry, Gene, and all the other Chiefs fans out there, but I want it for Phil Rivers, you know? Let's do one. Let's get one for Phil here. Gonna jump into the main slate though today on the player breakdown. Concentrate on the main slate. There's a lot of goodness on the main slate, guys. So we got a lot to talk about. I mean, Pat Steelers is gonna be epic. At least we hope so for fantasy purposes. So everything kind of revolves around that. And then, of course, the return of Aaron Rodgers and all of, you know, Rams Seahawks and new look Eagles. And I mean, it's all here. This is a great weekend for football. Hopefully no one gets hurt. That always kind of ruins football for us, but and fantasy, but we have a lot of really good games to be watching just as fans and to watch for DFS. So let's go ahead and jump into the Week 15 player breakdown. Starting up at the top with the quarterback position, guys, it's Tommy Brady. I don't, he's above 10K on, I'm not kidding. He is above 10K on DraftKings. I don't know what to say about that, okay? It's virtually impossible to feel like you can pay for him on that platform. Now, that said, on FanDuel, he is 8-8, so he's the QB1 on FanDuel. He's much more reasonable price over there. But let's talk about the match. Pittsburgh on the road here at Pittsburgh, coming off that dud to Miami. Who knows what happened there? But Pittsburgh allowing 41 DraftKings points to wide receivers over the last month. They're 19th in AFPA to the quarterback. Things are trending in the wrong direction. Now, Joe Hayden returned to practice. He says he's going to play. I think that will help shore things up. But, of course, this is Tom Brady. This isn't nobody. You also still have Ryan Shazier missing. So you have a massive piece of that, you know, that linebacking core out. The total is over 50. In that trend, Brady averages 23.6 FanDuel points, 24 FanDuel points against the Steelers in general over his career. And the crazy thing is this. The Steelers have thrown the ball more than anyone else in football in the last month, okay? So you have two teams now that are running top 10 pace in one-score games. The Steelers are throwing the ball at an insane rate. Like, just, they're not even bothering to really run the ball that much anymore. Like, they threw the ball 66 times against Baltimore. That's bananas. I don't know if necessarily that's going to change, but let's be very clear about this. The pace of this game could be insane. It definitely allows for a ceiling performance from both quarterbacks. He has Gronk returning, which I think people are going to forget. You know, we've seen Hogan back. He didn't really have an impact, but you have basically all the weapons that Brady could want in his offense ready to go. The question is just roster construction. It's just roster construction because you could very easily go down to Ben Roethlisberger, who is cheaper, who is at home. And listen to these numbers. 45, 45, 40, and 66. What do those numbers refer to? The numbers of pass attempts that Roethlisberger has thrown each game in the last month. I'm not kidding. He has not dropped below 40 pass attempts in the last month. Cam Newton hasn't thrown more than like 18. It's insane. Now, volume does not equal production, but volume certainly could equal production in what could be the highest scoring game of the week. At home, Ben averages 23 FanDuel points. Totals over 50, he averages 24 FanDuel points. But in two games against the Pats over the last 3 years, he's only averaged 18. Interestingly enough, not exactly a phenomenal matchup there. Listen, there's really a risk because of ownership, not playing one of these guys. Now, I don't necessarily know who you feel more comfortable playing. I think it's got to be Ben because of the price and the home matchup, and it's going to allow you more flexibility in your salary. But of course, all Tommy Brady has to do then is outscore Roethlisberger. And the reality is it's almost a nice correlation play to play. You know, if you play Brady and Brown, then you're thinking that this game shoots out and you have two of the key pieces, or Brady and Bell. You know what I mean? So you're going to really have to decide from a roster construction standpoint which one of those appeal to you more. Now, of course, if you want to be a little bit different, if you say, listen, it's all going to slow down. They're going to try to keep Tommy off the field. They're not going to throw the ball 66 times. The Pats are going to run the ball. It's going to be like the Falcons game when it was all just a massive letdown. Then go to Russ. He's at home. He's right in between him at 8,400 on FanDuel. You know, you could definitely go to Russell Westbrook in this situation against the Rams. Now you go to yourself, wait a second, Sean, Rams are a good defense. Yeah, they are, but they just lost Kayvon Webster to an Achilles. So anytime you lose one of your best corners to an Achilles, you go on the road and you face the number one quarterback in fantasy football. I'm pretty apt to believe that Russ is going to be able to have his way. Now, I don't think that necessarily he's... I say this, you say this, and it's ridiculous. I say these things, I'm like, oh, now, be careful. There's no reason to be careful. He just had 24 against the best pass defense in the league. We saw it. And you may go, that was fluky. It was a big play. That's by design. That's what they do. They take home run shots, and literally, I mean, he has been one of the best in the league all year long. Listen to this. Russ at home this year, 27 FanDuel points on average. In December over the last 4 years, we know that's a good split for him, over 20 points. I don't really know if you're going to find a better option, and if you want to be different than all of the Brady and Roethlisberger lineups, this is the easiest way to do it. You split the difference, you go, hey, I'm going to sit right between you guys, and you take the best running quarterback, or excuse me, the best fantasy quarterback in football. So, you know, the Rams, they're fifth in AFPA to the quarterback, okay? Yes, fine, but they're allowing 19 DraftKings points per game to the QB in the last month. They're going in the wrong direction here, gang. They're going in the wrong direction. Ask Carson Wentz, okay? And we saw what Russ did against the Eagles at home. We saw what he did against Jacksonville. There's really not a defense that you necessarily are too concerned with. Healthy Jimmy Graham, healthy Doug Baldwin, Paul Richardson. They finally have a running game. J.D. McKissic and Mike Davis seem to be doing the job. There's really no reason not to like him here. Anyway, the other guy that I think we probably... I mean, this is an insane slate. Drew Brees. The Jets are 32nd in AFPA to the quarterback. That's dead last. They just lost their quarterback. There's no way they're going to stay on the field. Trevor Siemian had a comeback game against them. There's really no reason to believe that Drew Brees doesn't have a nice game at home coming off of a long rest against the worst AFPA graded team in the league. Honestly, the hardest part is really going to be this just... picking a side this weekend, like saying, like, plant your flag on a guy, like, this is my man, I like the way the rest of my roster shakes out with him here as quarterback. And you're just going to have to decide who that is. I mean, and Drew Brees is not it's not unreasonable to think that it could be Drew Brees. I mean, you know, 24 points allowed to the quarterback in the last month. This team is not good. I mean, he's going to be able to throw multiple touchdowns. Alvin Kamara is back out of the concussion protocol. The only thing you worry about is whether or not they're going to just run the ball and sit on the run. The problem is that they're number one in the league in AFPA to the running back. So he's going to have to throw the ball at some point. You know, how much, though, we know that that's been the issue for Brees. So, you know, he's an interesting contrarian play. Now, of course, then you go, oh, well, Sean, what about Dak? Oh, yeah, let's not forget about Dak Prescott. I'm looking at Dak Prescott, and I'm realizing he is not on either main slate. I was expecting that he was. He's on the Sunday night slate. Well, if you're playing the Sunday night slate, let's not forget Dak Prescott. Of course, I included him in all my notes because I was just looking at my game notes. Anyway, he's an interesting play as well, and an interesting way to save. But let's not talk about him because he's not on the main slate. Bortles is. Blake Bortles is on the main slate. Very interested in Blake Bortles. You're probably doing a small eye roll to yourself, but he's 5,700 on DK. He might be my DK quarterback. And he is 7,400 on DraftKings. Now, listen, he is not that interesting to me on DraftKings, okay? He is not that interesting to me on DraftKings. I have to be honest with you. Or on FanDuel. 7,400 is too much, especially when I can go, you know, up to, you know, 8K and get Ben Roethlisberger. Like, I'm not doing Blake Bortles for that much, but this is a really actually a very, very good spot for Bortles. This team is, like, literally one of the worst pass defenses in the league, allowing 16 fantasy points to the quarterback over the last month. Bortles is throwing more. If you look at what they're doing, they're actually comfortable. And I wrote him up this week, but if you look at what they're doing, they're actually very comfortable throwing the ball. And I think what they're trying to say is that as we get ready for the playoffs, which I think they're probably going to win their division, based on the way Tennessee is playing right now and Mariota's hurt and that kind of stuff. But, well, Mariota's not hurt. He's dinged up. He's just throwing more and the volume is there. And even though they're still a run first team, as far as, you know, just situation neutral, they're throwing more than they were earlier in the year. And they have a healthy D.D. Westbrook. Now they have relatively healthy Marquise Lee. He's nursing a foot injury, but he's likely going to play. He played last week, even though he didn't practice. And this week he's actually practicing. So clearly it feels a little bit better. So Bortles against this team, I have no issue with that. I mean, we just saw Jimmy G light them up, and, you know, he has two straight games with two passing touchdowns. He's been fine. He's been fine. I mean, the threat of the run is creating a lot of good play action for him, and I think Westbrook is an ideal wide receiver profile, and I like Westbrook. I might just get my exposure that way. Now, Cam versus Green Bay is appealing, and he'll probably go overlooked to some degree, but listen, this is the only team in football that's allowed more than two passing touchdowns per game in the last month. Cam is at home. Here's my problem, and it'll be my problem every single time. He has three straight games with fewer than 200 passing yards. What? Fewer than 200? Yes, fewer than 200 passing yards. Okay, he's only thrown two passing touchdowns in that time. One game with two passing touchdowns. Okay? But he's also averaged 45 rush yards per game. That's the thing, okay? And he had a couple games where he's, like, popped for 60 and 70 yards. So you're getting that extra rushing, that extra passing production through the rushing. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's been able to do. The issue that I have there is it's like, why would I take Cam versus Green Bay when he's been so inefficient as a passer, when I could have Russ, who's been way more efficient as a passer and still has some degree, not even close, not quite as much rushing upside, but still has the rushing attempts? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I'm not that interested in Cam. But Green Bay's passing defense is bad. And if you're going to pass the ball against anybody, it could probably be Green Bay. You know, but he wasn't able to do it against the Jets. I mean, they allow the most fantasy points to the quarterback. And he didn't really do much against them. So that kind of concerns me. Now, listen, I'm going to say it. I think you can play Nick Foles, and Nick Foles is not the worst option in the world. He's very, very cheap. The Giants are terrible, and they have a very, very good offense in general. I think Nick Foles could turn around some value for you if you really want to take a risk and you want to punt. I think Nick Foles could turn around some value for you. There's an interesting article on Pro Football Focus about how Nick Foles actually isn't that bad of a replacement. His numbers under pressure, pretty good. His accuracy numbers, pretty good. There's a lot of reasons that Nick Foles could be perfectly fine and, you know, a game manager for this team. He's not the playmaker that Carson Wentz is, but he's a game manager. And if you have a great running game behind him and a great defense, then maybe you go a little bit further. I mean, they have the Giants and Raiders in the next 2 weeks. There's no reason that they shouldn't win those two games with the way those two teams are playing. So that's an interesting spot as well. Now, running backs. If there were enough quarterbacks for you, there are a million fucking running backs to love this week. Like last week, it was like, well, Gio Bernard and who? Who else you want? Who is it to? Gio Bernard and who? You know, that was it. So this week, there's a million. I honestly could have six different combinations of running backs and be completely pleased. I could pay up for the position. I could mix and match. You could pay down for the position and be totally fine. But let's start with Lev Bell, obviously. Why not? Versus New England. He's at home. He's not a favorite, but he's a home dog. New England ranks 32nd in DVOA to the running back. Okay, great starting point. But they're only 11th in AFPA to the running back. This defense has been better. We know that. And it's really actually very true. In the last month, they've yielded 23 DK points to the position. That's not that bad, but that's not elite. I mean, considering he faced Cincinnati, who's literally been the worst rushing defense 2 weeks ago, and then, you know, wasn't limited against Baltimore, but, you know, Baltimore's not the same. I don't think it's the same caliber of team, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Bell, however, he does have the most elite workload of any fantasy running back. Listen, the man has 100% of his team's rushing touchdowns this year. That's it. That, like, you don't, there's not really any other stat that anybody else even holds a candle to. I love his high total. I love the home, at home. The question with all these guys in this Pat Steelers game is really roster construction. Which ones do you want? I think Le'Veon Bell is the most chalky of all of them. And that's fine. And you can ride the chalk with him and know that, hey, listen, I'm going to ride or die. If he explodes for 30, then I'm with it. If he only goes for 14 because he doesn't get in the end zone, fine. Okay. You know, if he has a total dud, you are with the chalk, and that's okay. And that's okay in cash games. Now, in tournaments, you're going to find a lot of different ways to stack him. But this is also a situation that you really shouldn't necessarily get too cute about. I mean, this is the best running back in football, is fantasy football. We also have the best wide receiver in fantasy football on the exact same team. So, I don't know. Gurley versus Seattle. I mean, I don't know why his price doesn't go up. But Bobby Wagner is going to sit. And that's a really, really big deal. This defense is trending in the wrong direction. And I think this game is going to shoot out. Now, he's been unbelievable in the last couple games. That Philadelphia matchup was not a good one, and he smoked him. You know, that was his best game in the last couple weeks, twice into the end zone, over 100 yards from scrimmage, and he is, you know, second, very, very close second fiddle to Le'Veon Bell, and that's not really even, it's very close. Like, I have no problem saying that. Now, listen, this rush defense is going to struggle if Wagner sits. There's an insane stat, and I can't remember exactly what the number is, but there's some insane stat about Bobby Wagner plays. This team only allows an average of 14 points per game. It's one of the lowest numbers in history. I think it was on a Monday Night Football that they pulled that stat up, and there's like, you know, it's him and Butkus, it was at the Eagles game. And he was on fire, and they pulled up these interesting Bobby Wagner stats about how he's easily one of the best middle linebackers of his time. And it really is a big deal. I mean, he left that game last week, and Fournette went for put up the highest rush total on this team that they've seen in a while. You know, over 100 yards on 24 touches. Gurley is going to do more than that because he also catches the ball. Now, he's not going to get 24 carries, but he is going to get probably a total of 24 touches, and I just don't see any reason why you don't necessarily ride that volume. You know, you have him at 84. He's a whole $1,000 cheaper than Le'Veon Bell, and he has been, you know, from a volume standpoint, very, very similar. You know, you're talking about last week, even against the Eagles, you know, 18 total opportunities for over 100 yards and two touchdowns. A week before that against Arizona, 24 against the Saints, 24 opportunities, you know. So you have a really nice matchup here for him. On the road, that's not my favorite. He could struggle on the road. That's kind of where some of his struggles have come, but he's also slated on the road as well. So, you know, it's an interesting spot. I don't think necessarily that I'm that scared of it, especially with Wagner out. I think I'm a little bit more in on Gurley than a lot of other people are. Now, what I was saying before was that you can pivot down and you are perfectly good with a bunch of guys in like the 6 and 7K range. And the two that stand out to me are Latavius Murray and Kenyon Drake. First of all, They both have injury situations to the other back happening right now. And they're both shoulders, actually. So Jerick McKinnon is dealing with a shoulder. If he doesn't play, you have to play Latavius Murray. He is going to get an elite workload, and they're home favorites, and this team in Cincinnati has allowed the most points to the running back in the last month. They just allowed Jordan Howard to slay them. Slay them. They've allowed the second most rushing yards in the league in the last month. They're 30th in AFPA currently. He has multiple red zone carries in every single game since Cook went down. And he hasn't seen fewer than 15 touches in that span. Now, he was relatively inefficient when he first started, but then they figured out how to block for him, and all of a sudden he's been going over 4 yards per carry on a regular basis. He's not going to get you, 60 receiving yards like a Todd Gurley or a Lev Bell. It's much easier to play Latavius Murray on FanDuel where you're saying, get me 90 yards and flop into the end zone. That's it. Flop into the end zone twice. But you can run the ball on this Cincinnati team. So we're going to keep our eye on the injury news for Cincinnati too, because this team has been banged up. I don't know if Bontez Burfict is going to play. I don't know what his status is. Haven't heard a lot about him. The passing defense was banged up last week, so we'll see if the pass defense is banged up again this week. I mean, Cincinnati also just doesn't have anything to play for. Team's really bad. Defense has been mediocre at best, trending in the wrong direction for a long time. I don't really see any reason for them to bring their A game. They clearly didn't bring it against Chicago. Except for playing for contracts, I don't really know why this team's out there. Minnesota, on the opposite hand, has been on a road trip. They finally get to come back home. Minnesota had, 3 road games here? They had Atlanta, they had Carolina, and they had Detroit on Thanksgiving. So yeah, they've had 3 road games. This is their first home game in a while. So that's a big deal for them, and they get to come home. Latavius Murray's been good at home. He had 2 touchdowns and he's had three of his 4 touchdowns at home in that span since Cook has gone down. So I have no problem with Latavius Murray, and I think he's almost borderline lock if Jerick McKinnon sits. Kenyon Drake though, man. Oh God, Damian Williams, please do not play. Please do not play. He just came back to practice, however, which is really, really frustrating. Really, really frustrating. He was out those last 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, listen to this. Kenyon Drake, 56 touches in 2 weeks. That's elite. Let's be very clear about it. 28 touches per game? Unbelievable. 334 yards? Total yards and a touchdown? In 2 games? That's unbelievable. And that stretch, he's basically outdone. I think he's outdone Gurley in that stretch, certainly in touches. And I believe he's probably outdone Lev Bell as well. That's unbelievable. Damian Williams sits, you really have to consider Kenyon Drake here because he's going up against Buffalo, 32nd in AFPA. Now, he's on the road. I don't love that. But it's not going to be snowing. That's good. And we know Buffalo's rush defense has been terrible. The 32nd in AFPA. Tyrod Taylor is going to be back, but who cares? This team has really, really been giving it up on the ground all year long. Keep your eye on the Damian Williams news, because if Damian Williams is, if he sits, you have to play. If Jerick McKinnon and Damian Williams sit, you could legit talk yourself into fading Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley. Just go play AB and Gronk in the same lineup. You know what I mean? That's interesting. That's a unique lineup. Play AB and Tom Brady. That's pretty unique. I think that's an interesting way to approach. You still get your exposure. You just get it through the air and you take those lock and load ground matchups. Now, I got to talk about Kamara and Ingram. They're massive home favorites. They're literally the highest home favorite on the slate. And these guys have 2 of the highest red zone touchdown rates in the league. Ingram is 27 and Kamara is 26. Okay, they have more than one carry. Ingram has averaged more than one carry inside the 5 over the season. Only Todd Gurley has that. He has the best red zone workload in the NFL right now as far as fantasy running backs goes. Kamara right behind him as one of the elite, the most efficient running back in the last 8 weeks since most yards per carry in the NFL, most fantasy points per opportunity in the NFL. It's unbelievable. The Jets have been so good against the run, though. They're literally the best. They're number 1 in AFPA. you look at the game logs of what they haven't given up to running backs, it's like, geez, wow, you guys are good. They've shut down the running back, but they're 32nd to the quarterback. So how do you deal with that? Like, this team is going to get shredded. They don't have a quarterback. They're going up against a Hall of Famer at home, coming off of extra rest, the best offensive line in the league. Like, how do you not have any interest in these guys? The only reason you can write off Kamara or Ingram is because you're saying they're too expensive given the matchup. Other than that, you really can't write off a team that says that's this strong of a favorite at home with this good of an offense. I mean, against any other team, we would be like, listen, I'm lock and load on the Saints because they're 13-point home favorites. Of course, you gotta look at them, no doubt. But the only argument that you can make is that they're too expensive and it's an opportunity cost not to have Bell or have Gurley or have one of these cheaper guys. I get it. That's fine. But you're going to probably want exposure to the Saints offense. They're going to score touchdowns. I mean, right? I mean, or do you just stack, you do the Will Lutz. Maybe you go Will, I don't know. I'm not really sure. We'll talk about Ted Ginn. I think he's interesting. And Michael Thomas. I think they're both interesting. Got to talk about the Patriots tandem too. Actually, it's a trio, by the way, because Deion, Rex, and James White now are really, really fucking with us. Okay. James White led the team in snap rate on Monday night. Surprised you didn't know that. I mean, that's negative game script. Now, Steelers are 23rd in AFPA to the running back. That's not good. We've seen some good performances from running backs. I mean, Alex Collins had a nice game against them. Very nice game. James White, like I said, got the snaps. But here's the thing. Burkhead and Lewis actually got the touches. They both were around 37. It's very interesting. It's very equitable. It's almost like Belichick is like at the beginning, you know, of every, you know, the workload, like the running backs meeting. He's like, here's the deal. We're winning. You guys are going to get the exact same number of 15 touches. That's it. Here are the plays that you're going to run it on, 15 touches each. And if we're losing James, you're going to get more touches. So that's it. All right, guys, good luck. That's it. You know, I mean, because the script has been the same. They both get 15 touches. And in those games that they win, they both get 10 touches in the game that they lost. But they're going to get touches in a high scoring game. And the Patriots are going to score touchdowns. It's one of these guys is probably going to score a touchdown. You know, who do you go with? So you kind of, that's tough. The difficulty is, though, that I would understand if you're saying, listen, at that price range, I could possibly get at that price range, I could possibly get Latavius Murray, who might have a greater workload. I could possibly get Kenyon Drake, who has a better workload. Yes. That logic makes sense to me. I'm not going to these guys, but I think if you want to go to a game stack, you're going to want one of them. So it's interesting. If you want to pivot again, even lower, down on the totem pole, I mean, Mike Davis, man. Mike Davis, talk about 15 touches and 4 yards per carry. That's Mike Davis. He's doing the same thing that these Patriots running backs are doing. He is cheaper, though. He's very much cheaper, okay? He's been very good recently. You know, finally, they found a running back who's actually competent, and he's had almost identical stat lines in the last two games. He's at home, finally. As a favorite, not finally, but he was at home on the other week, but he's at home. He's a favorite. Los Angeles rush defense actually continues to be their big problem. Like, it is their bugaboo. That has been their bugaboo all year long. They're 17th in the ground in AFPA. They're kind of getting hit in the running game. It makes sense. I mean, the season wears on, guys get tired, you get more banged up. Makes sense that you're a little bit banged up in the run defense struggles. Now, he hasn't scored. You know, and this team throws the ball a ton. So you kind of worry about that. They're not really a hammer team. They use Russ because they want to be able to create with him, and he's their best player. So you use your best player to create touchdowns. It makes a lot of sense. That's the concern with Mike Davis. I also think Christian McCaffrey is interest. I mean, he's not been phenomenal, but this is a phenomenal matchup. His snap rate is higher than Jonathan Stewart's. Don't get fooled by Jonathan Stewart's good game last week. That was the last good one he'll have in his entire life. I'm kidding. I hope he has more. Seems like a nice guy. But seriously, I hate the Panthers. I know I have some Carolina fans out there. I apologize. It's mostly Riverboat Ron's transition lenses that really irk me, okay? The Riverboat Ron is an adult who's on television a lot. Just wear sunglasses, man. Just wear sunglasses and be done with it. Prescription? That's fine. But the transitions are just too much. They're too nerdy. Okay? I can't handle it. McCaffrey, this team in the last month, they've allowed 9 receptions to the running back and 67 receiving yards per game. That's a 15-point DraftKings point. Fuck, what, Sean? 15 DraftKings point floor, if he can do that. Now, he hasn't gotten 9 receptions in a while, but he's been productive. I mean, he's gotten, you know, somewhere close to 5 to 7 targets in every single game in the last month. Now, you would love to see that he's maybe getting, you know, closer to 7, 8, 9 targets, and he's getting some carries as well. So he's getting like 16 touches maybe per game, or 12 to 16 touches per game. But in the last 3, he's actually maxed out at 12 opportunities. Now, the question is that against this defense that kind of struggles, struggles with the pass catching running back, is he going to do enough to pay off that price tag? And that's what concerns me. I just don't know if he will. Now, of course, because this offense is relatively inefficient and Rivera loves to run the ball, even though they're bad at it, and I think it makes sense. I just don't think the price is actually worth it. But I wanted to talk about it because I think he's an interesting contrarian option. Even though he's not really that contrarian any week, people like him. Moving on to wide receiver Antonio Brown, I'll just give you one stat. I'm not sure if you've heard this one. The man had this blows my mind. The man had 213 receiving yards. He had 213 receiving yards against the league's fourth-rated, they are now, I believe, fourth-rated pass defense. They are second. They are second in defensive efficiency to the pass. He had 213 passing yards against this team. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? On 18 targets. Like, the volume is unbelievable. The production is unbelievable. I don't understand. Like, I honestly, when I compare Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, my mind tells me Bell. My heart tells me Antonio Brown. Because I can't believe how productive he is. They're almost the same price. So you want them both? You jam them in? Makes sense to me, I guess. But also, who knows? You know, this is the most concentrated fantasy offense. There's really not. I mean, and you could easily have 25 points from both of them, no doubt about it. So definitely interesting to try to do a jam them in situation. But you also worry, like, you do worry that they're going to try to take away something from this team. I don't know what it is. I don't know how. But you have to think that AB in the highest total of the slate against a Patriots defense that, you know, has been good, but has also been don't break against Malcolm Butler or whoever's going to match up with him. He has a matchup advantage against everybody in the league because he's just the best receiver in the league. I don't know. You got to love it. Michael Thomas, though, is also interesting because, listen, this is the worst. This team is one of the worst pass defenses in the league. They're worse than AFPA to the quarterback. And Thomas is huge on Thursday night. When this team can't run the ball, that's what they do. They go to him, and he is phenomenal. He is excellent. He was great in that Atlanta game, and an Atlanta pass defense is better than the Jets pass defense, no doubt about it. So he has big games against good run defense. I mean, we saw this. It's not unreasonable to say that when this team can't run the ball, Thomas is going to get included. His volume is so consistent, too. The man hasn't dipped below 8 targets in 2 months. So, you know, he is going to be a target. The question is whether or not they need him, really. Like, this game could get out of hand by the third quarter. Is he going to get volume, or is he just going to be a third down possession receiver? What do you do with that? You know what I mean? I'm not really sure. But I do love the volume. I love the matchup. I love that he's at home coming off the rest. I love the consistency. The price is very nice as well. As I think, you know, if people are going high, low stars and scrubs with their lineups this weekend to try and fit in as much New England and Pittsburgh as possible, Michael Thomas is a guy who could get overlooked. Definitely. He's just kind of just like, doesn't fit. Can't fit him in. Sorry. You know? Thielen. Guys, the Cincinnati defense is very, very banged up. And honestly, the Thielen out of the slot, he got 13 targets on Sunday against Carolina. Now, Carolina's pass defense has been bad, but Cincinnati's defense in general has been bad. I think he's a target hog. This team just sucks right now. He's back at home where he has been phenomenal. Him and Diggs have been phenomenal at home this year. So definitely have some interest in Thielen as a contrarian option. I don't think you have to play him in cash. It's not like last week where it was like, last week I got to Thielen and I was like, this is just too good. It's too good. I got to go with him. The matchup is great. You know, this is going to be a competitive game. A lot of scoring involved. And that was why I talked myself into Thielen. I had a lot of Thielen last week. So I think he's in a good spot. Keep your eye on the Cincinnati defensive injuries. All those injuries in Minnesota, Cincinnati, they really matter. So they're going to help you make a decision there. I mean, we know he's top 10 in air yards. We know he's top 10 in receiving yards and receptions and targets and all that stuff. He's been phenomenal. I have no reason to believe that he won't continue being phenomenal. He's not priced like it, though, and I think that people continue to, for whatever reason, just kind of think that, I don't know, how good is he, you know? He's very good. Devin Funchess, though, should actually attract some attention. I mean, if there's one thing that the public has been really, really, really good at, it's targeting wide receivers against the Packers. Number one wide receivers against the Packers. Every single week we do it. We do it every single week. And we should. I mean, no doubt about it. Although Mike Evans was a total bust, but that whole team is just a bust right now, right? Listen, Funchess has been phenomenal. He actually has the same number of like receiving touchdown rate, team of receiving touchdown, percentage of the team's receiving touchdowns, just to be clear, as Antonio Brown. That's interesting, huh? So he has 35% of his team's receiving touchdowns. That's an elite number. And that's because this team doesn't throw the ball into the end zone that much. And Funchess is the guy when they do. He's been good. Two touchdowns in back-to-back weeks, and he's clearly the leader in volume. Green Bay, great matchup. 32nd in wide receiver AFPA. You know, and every single metric that you want to use to talk about Carolina's passing game, Funchess is the number one. You know, targets, receptions, yards, it's all there. And it's Funchess all the way through. So as far as a wide receiver goes. So you got to like Funchess in this situation against a bad pass defense, especially possibly with the return of likely return of Aaron Rodgers, unless we hear any different. You know they're going to be a negative game script at home. If Rodgers is completely healthy, then I think you have to be concerned for Carolina to be able to stay in this game, and you really like the way that they're going to probably have to air it out to keep up. So do you want to attach one of your cash game assets to Cam Newton, who hasn't thrown the ball for more than 200 yards in a month? That's concerning. Doug Baldwin. I love this spot for Doug Baldwin, but I think he is more of a contrarian play. He has been good. High total at home, and he's been very good at home. And a lot of games at home this year were some of his best, no doubt about it. I think we can look to him because, you know, in the same way that Funchess, you know, kind of leads all, and Michael Thomas, this is the guy for Russ. I mean, he owns a lot, number one spot in all, a lot of the receiving metrics that, you know, on the Seahawks. And this is going to be a high-scoring game. Vegas tells us that. They just lost Kayvon Webster. We know that this team gave up some receiving production to the Eagles in this situation. No reason to believe that Russ can't do the same. Now, the issue that I have is he hasn't turned a lot of these targets into receptions lately, and that's kind of part of my problem with him. Now, it doesn't mean that it hasn't been production. He's had 13, 16, 12, 14 DraftKings points in the last four of the last five, you know, and he's definitely has a 20-plus point ceiling. Okay, no doubt about it. He had a nice touchdown in that Jacksonville game. The issue that you have here is really the fact that he only has like averaged 5 receptions per game. That's what concerns me. The production is there. The outcomes are there. And the snap rate is there. I just wish he was getting closer to Michael Thomas-esque target volume and reception. Like, Thomas is like 10 targets, 8 receptions. Baldwin is more like, you know, in a good game against Philadelphia, 7 targets, 5 receptions. You know, that concerns me. That concerns me. And in a matchup where he should have smashed against San Francisco, 3 targets for 2 receptions. Like, what's going on there? You know, but he can find the end zone. He has been good in that respect. So I don't know if he's a cash game play, but I do like him this week as, you know, a mid-tier wide receiver that might go overlooked in order to get exposure to that game. Marquise Lee versus Houston. This guy's been very studied lately. You know, since the bye, he has 3 games with more than 17 DK points and only 1 real bust. And that came against Patrick Patterson. No problem with that. The only issue that I have with Marquise Lee is D.D. Westbrook. D.D. Westbrook is coming, man. 27 targets in the last 3 games. He had a big one against Seattle, too. So you're paying for Marquise Lee, but you're kind of like, you know that meme where like the guy's turning around with his girlfriend? It's like Marquise Lee's the girlfriend. You're looking at D.D. Westbrook walking by. Like, dang, I don't know if I can pay. But Marquise Lee is. I should have just made the meme and posted it rather than orally describe a meme on my podcast. But theater of the mind, guys, theater of the mind. Listen, the issue that you have is that Marquise Lee is more expensive, but he has been very, very consistent. Like, I don't really have a problem with his production. You know, you're looking at a guy who, for the last 5, he has been over 11 DraftKings points. 2 of those games, 3 of those games, excuse me, he's been over 17. And like I said, 2 tough games against shadow corners, Arizona and Cleveland. He doesn't get a shadow corner. I mean, he had 6 for 55 and a touchdown against the Chargers. That's a really good performance. He had 8 for 75 and a touchdown against Cincinnati. On 12 targets. He had 10 targets against Indianapolis at home last week. So, or 2 weeks ago. Marquise Lee has been very, very consistent. The issue, like I said, is just that D.D. Westbrook is sitting right there and he's $1,000 cheaper. That's what worries me. Now, in the same range, if you're on Aaron Rodgers, and you are a believer that he is going to come back and endure the pass rush, and he's going to be the same, which is like there is a 95% chance he comes back without a hitch, and it's just business as usual. It's like he never left. Like, Brett Hundley doesn't even exist anymore. Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson are there, man. They're both in the 7Ks on FanDuel. Now, I don't know what to say. They are really, really appealing. Now, I am a little bit more... I would prefer Davante Adams for me. I would much prefer Davante Adams in this situation. 6,800 on FanDuel. Now the price for Jordy is nice at 63, but Davante Adams really hasn't missed a beat. And let's be clear about this. While Jordy definitely has touchdown upside because the red zone, you know, they're like red zone blood brothers. Davante has not. Like, he hasn't slowed down. The volume is absolutely and completely elite, and it was when Rodgers was there, and it was when Hundley was there, which just tells me that the quality of play by Adams right now is higher, and that's why I would go to Adams. Like, I love Davante Adams. I think he's a phenomenal wide receiver, and I actually think he's probably a better wide receiver than Jordy Nelson, but the chemistry with Jordy and Aaron Rodgers is just undeniable. I think if I'm going to be bullish on somebody, I'm going to be bullish on Adams before I am on Jordy, right? If Jordy gets that 2 touchdown game, so be it. It's a good process to trust the guy who's been playing better in the recent stretch. And it's not unreasonable to say that Jordy hasn't been playing well. You know, Hundley is not good. But there's a reason that Davante Adams had 14 targets and 2 touchdowns last week, right? I mean, versus Jordy has been completely invisible in this last stretch. You know, the chemistry be damned, I think that there's something to be said for that. All right, moving on to the value guys. Anything below in, you know, the 6K and below range. The LA wide receivers are so interesting. Seattle's struggling against the pass, you guys. They really are. They're 24th in AFPA to the wide receiver. Like, we have never seen this happen before. Seattle, you get Robert Woods back. That's the problem here, right? Robert Woods, we would love Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp has been smashing, absolutely phenomenal recently. And Robert Woods is back. So now you have this situation where you're like, oh man, that's so annoying. Like, he was the best receiver. Now everybody gets this kind of, you know, reduced target load, and you don't necessarily know who's going to get the volume. Is he healthy? Can we trust him? You know, it's not fun. I think if you're game stacking it, you're going to want one of these guys, and maybe, you know, but Watkins was doing great stuff too. I mean, Watkins had two red zone looks in the last 2 weeks. He was showing some chemistry. He seemed to be like a go-to guy, even on small volume, a go-to guy that they were drawing stuff up for in the red zone because he's got phenomenal hands. But now Robert Woods kind of brings a mix. You know, it's just tough. It's tough, I think, but those guys are interesting. On the opposite side of the ball, I'm very interested in Paul Richardson. I've loved Paul Richardson's volume as it relates to his price. Okay, his price can never really jumps, but you have a high total guy who is 4600 on DraftKings, 5700 on FanDuel, who has regularly turned in home runs. Not regularly, excuse me, can turn in home runs. And he got 7 targets on Sunday against Jacksonville. Now, he turned that into 72 and a touchdown, but he had 70 yards against San Francisco. He had 50-plus yards against Atlanta. In these competitive games, Richardson can get it done. And you have a secondary that's probably going to struggle without Kayvon Webster. You got to be interested. I think it's interesting to go to Paul Richardson in this situation as a contrarian option. But there's two other guys, similar molds, you know, kind of high risk, high reward types. And Ted Ginn, man. I love Ted Ginn this week. Why? The Jets get smashed by receivers over the top. They really do. Like, we know how bad this pass offense is. Do you remember what he did, or what Tyreek Hill did in that game? That was a phenomenal game for Tyreek Hill. Now, the problem that you have with Ted Ginn in this situation is volume. And it's always Ted Ginn's problem. I mean, only 5 targets in the last 2 games. Now, that's Carolina, Atlanta, divisional game. We know that those are, you know, tougher. You know, you have an out-of-division game at home here. You know, and you look at something like that, and that split against Washington, for example. He went 6 for 6 for 87 yards. So that's good. Tampa Bay, a team that gets struggles with the pass. He went, you know, 5 targets, 4 receptions, 59 yards and a touch. Green Bay struggles with the pass. 7 for 7, 141. So there is something to be said for Ted Ginn out of the division in a good passing matchup. I think that split favors him, and he's cheap. He's very cheap, and he'll probably go overlooked. Now, you got to be worried about the rib injury. Hopefully he'll, which, by the way, might be the reason that he didn't get any volume in those last 2 games, because he was nursing that rib injury. So could be. But D.D. Westbrook might be my favorite of all of these guys. You know, do you want to attach yourself to Bortles? Not really, but Bortles hasn't really been that Bortles-y in a while. And here's the reality. This guy is trending up. 10 targets, 6 receptions, 41 yards. 9 targets, 6 receptions, 78 yards. 8 targets, 5 receptions, 81 yards, touchdown. There is a reason that people loved this man in the preseason, and Bortles is finding him. Bortles loves him. If there's one thing Bortles can do, it's get the ball up, get the ball down the field and throw it far and let Didi get under it. And that's what he did against Seattle. Seattle, obviously, just a much better defense in general than Houston. Houston is, I believe, yeah, 29th in AFPA to the wide receiver. We saw it, guys. I mean, Marquise Lee had a great game. Not Marquise Lee. Marquise Lee did have a nice game against them. No, Marquise Goodwin. I'm sorry. Marquise Goodwin had a very nice game against them. Very similar profile, right? Straight up speedster, vertical receiver. T.Y. Hilton, straight speed, vertical receiver. That's Didi. Same profile. And, you know, you got to continue to build that rapport between these two guys, even if it's in positive game script, because once the playoff comes, you need these guys. And I think that that's kind of what they're saying. I mean, it makes sense, right, that Marrone would say, let's make sure that we're not just, like, pretending like we can run the ball on every single play in the playoffs. You know, you need a diverse attack, and I think that that's probably what they are. What they are considering. By the way, I mean, Houston in general, no team allows more fantasy points. Team allows the most fantasy points. The most. So, and that's why you got to be bullish on the Giants too, by the way, because honestly, the Giants have one of the worst rush defenses in the league. If you can figure out who's going to get the volume out of that backfield, you are going to be a wealthy man. Now, or woman. Let's go ahead and talk about tight ends, defenses, and of course, if you're on FD, kickers. I mean, tight end is a shit show. I'm going to be very clear about this. It's very hard to like a lot of guys, you know, in this week. I think a lot of people by default are probably going to pay up a little bit. You know, I think Gronk is appealing. Even though Pittsburgh has phenomenal tight end defense, I think he is appealing. I can't really feel that comfortable. Even, I mean, I guess Zach Ertz would be the guy, but at 8,000 with Nick Foles under center, you have a phenomenal matchup. And I guess the problem is that you just don't know what the game script is going to look like in Philadelphia. Like, if Wentz was playing, you would be locking in Zach Ertz in all formats. Like, you would definitely be locking him in. You would love Zach Ertz all day against the Giants. It's just very, very difficult to feel good about that. Now, Kyle Rudolph is an interesting high floor play. Jimmy Graham is very similar. Why? Well, the reality is those guys have been catching a lot of touchdowns. And if you want to try to get a touchdown in your lineup, that's fine. Now, I think it's perfectly acceptable this weekend to just punt tight end, you know, and take some guys, take a chance on guys, and just say, you know what, I don't know who to play. And I think that probably for me looks like Ben Watson. Honestly, 4,900 against Cleveland, he's actually been relatively involved. Now, he sat out of practice, I think, the other day. If he doesn't play, then it's going to be Nick, what's his name? Nick something. It's really, 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 really hard to get excited about a lot of these tight ends. And I think as a result, people are going to pay up. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that that's that crazy, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, there's not a lot to love. I mean, you could look at maybe someone like, you know, Charles Clay with Tyrod Taylor back, though Clay hasn't really done much of anything of late. I guess Kyle Rudolph would probably be the one, but he's questionable. He's got an injury. Cincinnati's struggling with the tight end a little bit, 26 in AFPA. It's very difficult to figure out where you want to go with tight end. I think you could very easily just say, I'm going to pay up. Because there's enough wide receivers and value, like reasonably priced wide receivers and value at running back, that I could get one of these good tight ends in my lineup to make sure that I don't have a completely worthless roster spot. Although I survived Steven Anderson last week. Worthless. Moving on to the kicker position. I mean, I love... You got to love Will Lutz, no doubt about it. I love Will Lutz. But at home, in a great matchup, I like Kai Forbath too. He's really cheap. He's been very good. This team can move the ball. I think Kai Forbath is perfectly acceptable, Minnesota kicker there, no doubt about it. And as far as defense goes, I probably would run it back with the Minnesota defense too. I have no issue with them. You know, AJ Green poses a little bit of a threat, but you can also definitely go to the New Orleans defense at 4,600. They're in a very, very nice spot. And I think Philadelphia as well in that range. I don't think you have to pay up for Jacksonville, as sexy as that might be. I don't think you have to. Baltimore, very interesting, but we saw that defense has kind of changed last week. It doesn't give me a lot of faith right now. Those are kind of what I'm looking at. Hey guys, that is it for me. I tried to get you out of here a little bit early, realizing that these podcasts were going pretty long. Patreon.com/lineuplogic, bringing you NBA content coming up tomorrow. So go ahead and get that checked out, and we will talk to you.